Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, it's John Gibbons from the Anfield Wrap with your Wednesday morning freebie. Coming up, we've got a conversation that I had a couple of days ago with Ian Prowse. Now, listen, on the Anfield Wrap, we're celebrations of Liverpool culture in every way. We celebrate the football team, we celebrate the city and the talent that comes from it. And so quite often, we'll have notable people coming in and having a bit of a chat with us. We've got a cup of tea show. We just have a little bit of a chat with someone who we think, you know, is interesting, and that could be from famous athletes or musicians or just someone who's got an interesting life and story to tell, always with a little bit of a connection to either the city or the club. There's also Desert Island Goals, which Andy hosts as well, where he speaks to someone about the three biggest moments that they've had as a Liverpool supporter, but also gets into what they were doing at the time and their life as well. Some huge names he's had of that, of star of screen that have been on there. So they're all available for subscribers on our website. If you search for Desert Island Goals, you will find all there. But sometimes we just get an old friend to talk about what they're up to and something big they've got coming up, and that was what happened this week. Ian Prowse came in. He's been in big Merseyside bands like Amsterdam and Pele and still going strong, which is what we talk about. He does these, well, he plays all over, and he's touring up and down the country all the time, and I'm still releasing music, and his music's better than ever. But he does a really big Christmas show. He's kind enough to invite me on stage with him every year to play a bit of trumpet and be comfortably the worst musician on stage, but as always, you know, trying to bring the vibes and the party atmosphere. But it's an absolutely brilliant gig. The musicians who are on stage and who play with them all the time are unreal, and it's a big party. It's got bigger year after year, so we just want to give that a bit of a push, because I'm really confident that anyone who is in the city on Saturday will enjoy it, but also enjoy listening to Ian talking about his music and his life, and also plans he's got for next year, including the 30th anniversary of his big hit Fireworks as well, and a little bit of a tour around that. So yeah, you're going to hear me talking to Ian Prowse in a few minutes, but just before that, we are going hard on our Jurgen Klopp documentary this week. We make no apologies for that. It's fantastic. We're so proud of it. It's the biggest production we've ever done. It's going to be across 5 parts. It's 35 interviews in 4 different countries, and yeah, it's been a big effort to pull it all together throughout, in terms of his direction and the idea and how he's overseeing it all, you know, the video team in terms of multiple trips over to Germany and the editing that's gone into it. We've lost Jordan for the last sort of 6 weeks or so, and now locked himself away sort of editing that, but it's all worth it. We're confident that you'll think it's all worth it when you see it. So go to our YouTube if you haven't yet. Watch part one of the Jurgen Klopp documentary, and then there'll be another 4 parts to come. Part two is going to be next week, and then hopefully one more before Christmas and a couple more next spring. So we're really excited about it. So now you're going to hear a clip from the Klopp documentary, and so you're going to hear that now, that Harry has put very kindly put together, and then it will jump to me talking to Ian Prowse about his big gig at the weekend. So hope you enjoy the clip, hope you enjoy the chat with me and Ian, and I obviously hope you enjoy the Jurgen Klopp doc. Do tell us, do tell your friends, up to it.
The news broke on Sky basically when we were on air that Brendan had lost his job. Maybe you knew a little bit before that, but so we got told live on air, and that was the famous Thierry Henry moment on the leg. But I remember saying the only man I'd want, or I think Liverpool should target, was Jurgen Klopp. He was out of a job, which made it easier at the time, but it just had to be him if we could get him.
You know, he stood there and it was almost, it had a preachery thing about him, but in the very best way, because everybody believed him when he said, this is the city, we are the guys and the gals, we are the people, we're gonna do it. We didn't do it then, but we're gonna do it then, and it's gonna be all right, and it's gonna be great, and we're all gonna be there to celebrate it together, and people believed him.
In Germany, you say a Menschenfänger, someone who attracts people to follow him, to give trust in him, to him, and I think that's the reason. And I really don't see any difference from the time when we met first, when he was 19, and I see him on TV or when I speak to him. I really don't see any difference.
Occasionally, when he feels point needs to be made, he's not afraid to speak. And I think again, this ties into Liverpool and Liverpool's concern with social justice and the very politicized nature of a lot of the supporters. And it's the right attitude for that kind of club. If he was somewhere else, I think it might be a bit of a mismatch, but there it fits, and it fits with his own ideas and conviction. That's why it comes across as so genuine, because it is.
And a lovely surprise for me this Monday. I know you're hearing this on Wednesday morning, but this is Monday afternoon, and an old friend strolls in, Mr. Ian Prowse. And so I thought, we'll put the mics on and have a little bit of chat about it. Another exciting weekend for you. But Ian, thanks for coming in to see us, first of all.
Well, I was strolling past and I thought, I'll go and see Gibbo, see how he is, seeing as I'm going to be spending this weekend with him.
He's all right. Check his chops are okay.
Check that your lips are strengthened for the big night on Saturday.
I mean, it is becoming a fantastic part of Liverpool Christmas folklore. These fantastic gigs you do in December. We'll come on to talk about everything else that you do, because you know you play up and down the country and, you know, you've got loads of stuff happening at the moment and releases and stuff like that. But we're mainly here to talk about your Christmas gig. And you must be so proud of how it's grown over the years and how at a time where there's a lot of competition and there's a lot of, you know, Liverpool musicians who sort of like to get out and pay for the Christmas presents on Christmas Eve. But this one has grown and grown and grown.
Well, this is our ninth year, which is amazing. And it is just, we started off in a little venue and it was just growing and growing. And now it's like, you know, there'll be 1,000 people in there on Saturday night. And they come in from all over the world. It's not just local people, you know, people from the Wirral or from Liverpool or wherever. There's a fella emailed me the other day. He's coming in from Ecuador.
Wow.
Yeah. And I know people are coming in from Holland and Italy, flying over from Ireland, coming down from Scotland and all of that. As well as all four points of England, you know. And it's, so when you know that that's happening, you really do treat it with a lot of respect. And it's a knees up, you know. And I love the people who are coming into the city of Liverpool, a lot of them for the first time, you know. So I do them a pub crawl, a Prowsey-themed pub crawl. So by the time they get into the gig, they're all steaming, you know.
Well, nicely warm up the vocal cords. And yeah. It is, you know, a big party, isn't it? And I love being part of these gigs, but, you know, I've always said if I wasn't, you know, on stage, you know, doing a little bit, I'd be buying a ticket and down the front, because it is such a celebration. It's a celebration of your whole career. You know, there'll be quite a bit of new stuff in there, but also, you know, the old hits from Pelly and Amsterdam and your own stuff. And everyone just has a great time, is what I would say.
Well, I think you get a bit of everything. You know, you'll get a lot of joy. There will be tears, because I write a lot of sad songs as well. There'll be some stupidity. There'll be a lot of fun. There'll be some rabble-rousing as well, you know, because there's a lot of rabble-rouse about at the moment, what's going on in the country. So, you know, all points of the human soul are covered. And behind me, to my left, I have you leading the horn section into battle. So what people might not know is you're the horn section leader.
Yeah, well, we were just saying just before we started, you say it's the ninth year. I think I've done six or seven of those, and I got asked a long time ago. And I don't think you'd get rid of me now, Ian, because I just love it. It's one of the highlights of my year. It's certainly the highlights of my Christmas. But for me, it's playing on stage with those musicians, because the quality of musicians that you've picked up over the years is phenomenal and a testament to your soundness, I would say. Because I'm sure they could play wherever they wanted, but they come and play with you.
They are. It's an honor. I mean, Fiona, the girl from Cavern, on the flutes and whistles, and her singing is just, it tears at your heartstrings as soon as she opens her mouth. And then we've got my old fiddle player from when I had Pele, Nico. She's joining us on stage this year, along with Laura McMillan, our usual Amsterdam fiddle player. So the two of them, and we've got some great things. We were rehearsing yesterday. We've got some great things cooked up between those two. So they're going to make a hell of a sound. And then we've got the wild boy on the piano. Yeah. it was like a show in himself, isn't it? Chris Howard.
Well, 1 year he just had COVID, and he'd obviously, you know, recovered, but he hadn't fully, you know, he'd taken a bit out of him. Yeah. I remember he just left everything on stage, and then backstage after me, he's just sort of collapsed. Yeah, every ounce of energy he put into it, he's such a showman.
That was when we played the Philharmonic Hall, wasn't
twice
it?
In a day.
Yeah, twice in a day. And this is the thing about our annual knees up, is that nothing stops for it. We make sure it happens.
Yeah.
And I feel as though it's a pick-me-up for a lot of people who might be struggling out there, you know, be it financially, or maybe somebody close to them's passed away, or they're just having struggles in their lives, that they come to this show and they just get a pair of arms wrapped around them, musical arms, say, come on, let's battle on, you know. And that's kind of a lot of what I do musically, as well as, you know, with my lyrics and what the show is all about. So, and we always have a really, really great support act as well.
So who have you got this year?
We've got Baby Bird, who you'll remember from that massive hit, You're Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I did a few shows with them earlier in the year, and I just said, come and do this. And they absolutely, they'd heard about it before. So in the past, we've had Space, and we've had Miles from The Wonder Stuff. We had John Bramwell from I Am Clute. I think we've had Rain from round here. We've had the Supernatural. So we always have a really classy support act. So they're this year. Next year's, for the 10th one, it's going to be, I don't even want to go into it, but we're working on something big.
But it's part of your determination to give everyone a really great night, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
You know, you want a big support band. You want someone, because some people shy away from that. They think, oh, I don't want someone who might, you know, sort of show us up a bit. But for you, it's like you want people to walk in.
Yeah.
You know, 7 o'clock on doors, because people come early to get a good spec, don't they? So
they
you want to give them, I mean, three, four hours of brilliant entertainment, and that's what you commit to when you're on stage, but also, you know, when you're putting together the entire night.
Absolutely, but that's kind of my thing. That's me, really, is that I'm a committed performer, a conviction performer. You know, the sort of music that got me into doing this in the first place, the sort of bands I saw when I was really young, The Clash and The Jam, they're both Paul and Joe are conviction songwriters. And, you know, if I would put my name to any sort of politician, it would be conviction politicians who don't, you know, don't try and play games. They just believe what they believe. And that's kind of what you get with our show. So commitment is the key word. And for your £18.50 for your ticket, I want people to just go away, I'm spent of emotions, and I've had a really, really good time.
Yeah.
And I need paracetamol for the morning.
It's a big weekend, I should say. You're in Glasgow for a night that's sold out.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool to sell out any city that's not your own. It's pretty good. You're at the Admiral, big band for that one as well. So it's, I guess, not enjoy yourself too much on the Friday.
Well, the thing is with us is when we say goodnight on the stage, that's kind of just the beginning for a party. And as I've been with you at 3 o'clock in the morning,
put the world to rights.
Shows, yeah. Going, Johnny, as me and you still standing. So so we kind of lead the charge, don't we, into the fun. And then I'm usually found at 1 o'clock the day after, nursing a hangover in the crock with some people who've travelled far and wide. You know, I don't believe in this delineation between the audience and the artist. I think we're all just part of one big happening. So anybody who wants to come and join me the day after for a drink, they can, you know. Especially if you've come all the way from Ecuador, for Christ's sake. I'll buy you a pint for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. In terms of other shows then, you know, if people can't get there on Saturday, you've got another tour booked April and May. It's 30 years of fireworks.
Yeah. My first ever record, which is on Polydor, which was amazing because The Jam were on Polydor, so it always blew my mind that they'd signed us, was an album I wrote for my first band Pele called Fireworks, and it had all of a lot of my well-known songs on. And it's 30 years, so we're out with a big promotions company called AGMP, and we're playing everywhere all over the UK. So that's really, really exciting. And Fireworks only lasts for 37 minutes. For the rest of the time, I'll be playing all my other well-known songs, you know, if you're into what I do.
Yeah, so it's amsterdam-music.com if you want to check out all those tour dates. As Ian says, it's up and down in the country. And the fact that you're still going after 30 years is something to be proud of.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many who don't, who jack in along the way or get the decision made for them because people stop going to gigs.
That's
but
true.
Yours are getting bigger and bigger, it feels.
I am a little bit, I'm a bit like Aesop's fable, you know, the tortoise and the hare. I feel as though a lot of my music's gotten better and better. These last two albums have had a really wonderful reaction with songs like Here I Lie and Battle. So it's kind of more and more people have been coming out to watch me. You might have thought that I'd peaked in 1992 with Pele when we were doing really well, but it's kind of gone right up back to where that I was in that position, but and a bit further still. So I'm just tenacious. And I kind of, because of, we fell into trouble with the record company during the Britpop era when you might have thought we might have broken through. I had to sit it out, you know, I had to sit on the sidelines while all these bands who'd supported us in the previous 18 months, be it Pulp, Cast, the Blue Tones, all went on to be really big. And I just had to sit there because we were in litigation with the label. We'd fallen out with them over things. And at the time, for a long time, I felt like I was kind of like, oh, really missed out there. Could have been the chance. You know, the portal was open there for bands like mine during Britpop. But now I kind of feel as though maybe it was fortuitous because a lot of those bands are kind of, you know, they're kind of, it's like an albatross around their neck, that almost that Britpop thing. They can't escape from that. They're just Britpop. Whereas I've kind of come into just being a songwriter now. And people know that Pele, Amsterdam, albums under my own name is just part of the whole thing. They're all exactly the same thing. And I'm not kind of, you know, so attached to one of them. It's just all of it. So it's nice. It's been a long, long struggle, but it's nice to have got to this position.
Well, it's nice. It's great that you're still doing it. And as I say, anyone who comes to the show on Saturday will just feel the joy in the room and to be the creator of that, along with a few others of us who try our best, but to be the sort of the orchestrator of that and the person, you know, throwing that party is a wonderful thing. Because like you said before, you know, a lot of life at the moment is tough, you know, and you feel like those of us who were lean certain way on politics were losing a lot of fights, but on Saturday we do have a bit of a fight back, don't we?
We do, but, you know, and it's a warm, inclusive thing. It's not it's not like a big, angry thing because we all feel pretty much the same, so there's no point in preaching to the converted. And it's the one night of the year where I get to have a four-piece horn section at my back, and it's so loud I can hear it above all of the music that all of the other six or seven musicians are making. And there's a song that we're going to be playing on Saturday called Holy, Holy River. And I wrote it in mind with you lot in the horn section because you all blast in on the chorus. And I've been waiting for this moment on Saturday night where that happens, where we hit the chorus and all the band play together and the horns come in. And it will be like, you know, some sort of Motown soul review. So I'm very excited about it all.
Couldn't get you in without asking about Tranmere. How are the boys doing this season?
Not good. Aww. It's not good for the Rovers. It appears that the other team sus. We go on a run of three or four, five victories, and then the other team susses out, and the manager doesn't seem to have anything in his, anything in the back pocket to throw at them. So you never know if we're going to do a push for the playoffs or we're going to be in a relegation battle. And I think we deserve much more than that, really.
Yeah.
You know, but it's always been a struggle watching Tranmere. So I'm used to lower league pain. But there you go.
Enjoy it on Saturday. I mean, I'll see you before then. We've got rehearsals tomorrow night. Looking forward to, again, being the second best and second best looking trumpet player on the stage.
gorgeous,
and second best dressed. I'm just hoping he's got really fat this year or something. But he absolutely won't. He'll still smell amazing. He'll still sound great.
He does. We have this other trumpet player called Florine. And he's gorgeous and he's well dressed and he's got a cool name. And me and John hate him.
Yeah, if you're listening. But you can't really hate him because he's also really charming. Yeah. And all that. What a bastard. But yeah, if anyone enjoys music, and I've always said it to anyone who will meet, if you like music, I don't think you can fail to enjoy the show. The musicians on stage are unreal. Enjoy it as much as anyone in the audience, and I feel like that feeds it. I always think with a band, if they're having a good time, then it'll sort of feed out the musicians having a party. They enjoy each other, they obviously enjoy Ian and his music and his songwriting and his songs, and that just goes out onto stage and it is a big party. And as I say, if you do like music, there is something for everyone, and I think I'd be positive to say, in fact, if you don't enjoy it, I'll give you the money back for the ticket myself there, you know, because I am that confident. But you will hopefully see you there on Saturday night. If you can't come, do check out those other gigs in April and May on the Fireworks tour, and obviously Ian's music as well. Like he says, he's writing better than ever, so new albums out there, new music out there, so go to his website, buy directly from artists. That is always the best way. But thanks for coming in, mate.
No, thanks for having me on, John. Sports Social Podcast Network.